Amen. It's good to see each of you tonight, and I hope you've had a good day and a good week so far, and I hope you enjoyed spring and had a good time during that season. We're all over the page, I think, now, but it's coming. I think it'll level out here before too long. I thought a lot about this. Used to you have regular sickness, and then COVID came along, and that just kind of changed things. And you used to have regular weather, then the hurricane came along. Now you have a little bit of everything. I mean, it just kind of seems like that. I say that jokingly, but I believe within my heart there's more to that than what we might realize. You and I don't control the weather and different things like that, but we know who does, and I think you can kind of see a change in that. And I'm not going to try to be lengthy. I say that, and I never time it to know how it's going to go. I just about really wasn't even going to have a lesson for tonight. Just it's really been on my heart to pray. There's a lot going on, you know. I mean, I don't know anybody that's not going through something, and most are going through something big, something that's, life-altering, mind-altering, heart-altering, things that when I mean by that, it disrupts the day-to-day. You've been, able to visit a little bit this week, and there's just so much to be in prayer for, but and I wasn't really, again, I was just going to focus on prayer. I told Brandy, I said, there's so much going on that I think we just need to pray and just focus on that. That's what prayer meeting's about. But then a question just kept ringing in my ears, in my head, and maybe even my heart, really, from Saturday, meeting with Sister Linda, and talking to her, Sister Linda Arnett, and she asked the question. She said, what do you do when you can't pray? And I know she meant it from a serious standpoint, not a negative standpoint, but you can be carried away so far into a point of whatever it is that you're going through, it's hard to do anything. It's hard to focus on anything. It's hard for your mind to wrap around things and try to grasp it and what have you. And so when I heard that, you try to give an answer in the moment. But as the Lord kind of worked that in my heart, I wanted to kind of give answer to that tonight. The Lord led me here pretty quickly and starting to study this. I just wrote down the question, what do you do when you can't or don't know how to pray? And then I just started studying from that point. And if you will, let's turn to Philippians chapter number 4. I do want to dedicate most of our time tonight in prayer. But I wanted to go through this. And this is kind of some Bible instruction, I believe, about this. If you look in Philippians and kind of look at chapter number 4 in my Bible, it kind of gives a subscription there. It says the peace of the Christian life, the presence of Christ. And the first few verses, it talks about peace with others. And then these verses tonight that I want to look at, it talks about peace with self. And it goes on to talk about peace with circumstances. In these, if you wanted to further read and study out, there's a lot in this chapter. But I just kind of wanted to look at these verses here tonight, maybe just to get our minds together, just a lot to think about. But verse number 4, Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come to you tonight, God, and already I feel the Spirit, Lord, and I feel your guiding hand, God, and I just pray that your will be done here tonight. God, we need you in so many different ways. Can't even just really begin. We'd be here all night and then some, God, if you tried to just list everything. But God, I want us to have a time of prayer tonight. But God, I just pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us, God, to focus on you the way that we should. Lord, see you the way that we should as we've been studying prayer and thinking about that. And tonight, Lord, also, what do we do when we can't pray, when we feel like we can't pray? God, I just pray that you help us. I pray that you bring this out tonight. Lord, it's what you laid on my heart. I want us to be helped. Our midweek services are so important. And God, I just pray and just wish more and more would come, God, you know, see the importance of what this midweek service is about, God, growing closer to you and being together in fellowship, Lord, being with our brothers and sisters and just the importance of that also. God, I just pray you go with us tonight. Help us, Lord, and be with all the objects of prayer that have already been mentioned throughout the week and will be mentioned tonight. God, we mention those now. Go with us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
So you just kind of see what he's talking about here. It just starts out really simple. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Just rejoice in the Lord sometimes. That's not what it says. And when I was kind of looking at this, slowly just kind of reading over it, you look at the word rejoice, and that means to experience joy and gladness to a high degree, not just kind of be happy, not like you're trying to give a false sense of happiness or something like that, because, you know, I love my alone study time with God. You're not putting on a show when it's just you. You don't feel like you're putting on a show. You don't feel like you have to put on a happy face, or you don't have to pretend or anything like that. The things that are hurting you, it's all right to lay that before the Lord. You're just saying, Lord, this hurts me, and I just want to tell you right now, this hurts me. This bothers me. And I know it's right here, but God, I can't move it from right here, but that's where it's at. But I want to talk to you anyway. I want to spend time with you anyway. But what is interesting about what Paul is saying here is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He's saying always, always, even during the hard things and the bad things that we have going on in our life, even when it's hard, he's saying rejoice. And rejoice is to have that happiness, that experience or that gladness to a high degree, to make joyful or to gladden. And it says right here, though, I think this is what is important. After he says rejoice, he stops and he says, in the Lord. Now, that's different than making yourself happy with outside things, like finding something to look forward to. I know a lot of people who do that. I've been guilty of that. Trying to set things up or maybe plan things that you have things to look forward to. Maybe trips, vacations, outings, special time with family or friends or things. And that's all good things. That's good things. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. He is saying, rejoice in the Lord. Now, when's the last time you've rejoiced in the Lord? I'm not being cynical. I'm not being superficial tonight. I'm honestly asking, when's the last time that you just got alone with the Lord and said, Lord, I just love you. I'm happy in you. I wrote down the question here. Are you happy in the Lord? Yes, no, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I am or not. I don't spend enough time thinking about it to know. I'm too busy, or I try not to think about things because I don't want to get down. I don't want to get upset. And sometimes just that cycle that goes along, swirling around in the mind, is a hard and a dangerous and a sad place to be. But what he's saying here, what Paul is teaching, is to rejoice in the Lord. You know, and I sit there, the church, and as I was studying this, looking, I was like, Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, some things we have to answer. I think we depend on God to do everything, but you and I have a part. When, Brother Nathan, when we're singing in the choir, that's our part. That's what we do. We can't ask the Lord to sing for us. We can't ask the Lord to do all these things for us. There comes a point in time in our Christian life that we have to stop and say, you know what? This is my part. This is what I do. This is what I do with the Lord. This is my relationship with Him. If we come to Him constantly, maybe in a state of despair, how discouraging is that for Him? Think about it like this. Parents, think about it like this. If your children came to you constantly, always in a place of despair and not gladness, would that not be wearisome on you? Wouldn't you say, I want you to be happy? Wouldn't you try to do something to make them happy? And here's the thing, sometimes I don't think that we recognize when the Lord is trying to do that. He wants us to be happy in Him. And how do you be happy in Him as a child of God? Now, a lost person, I don't think they can really be happy in God. They don't. In the Lord, they don't know Him yet in that way. They don't understand it in that way. But after accepting the Lord and you have that relationship started, You could always go back, or should always be able to go back to the day that you accepted him, and there should be some kind of joy there. There should be. The day that he opened your eyes, the day that he allowed you to see the difference between right and wrong, the difference between getting an idea of what the difference between heaven and hell is, and that you've been redeemed from that, that should create a little bit of joy at least. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. I know we don't understand what it looks like there, and I know we don't understand what it looks like in heaven, but I tell you, I think in his mind and in his way of thinking, he's like, if you could just see, maybe you could have that happiness and that joy. We get down about things we can't control in life, sicknesses, illnesses, things that happen throughout life, horrible things that's happened to people. You know, there's a lot of people carrying things you and I don't know a thing about. You say, why can't they just be happy? They're carrying a lot of stuff. It's not easy. It's not easy. But you see, the Bible doesn't say be happy in yourself, be happy in your friends, which is okay. It's talking about being happy in the Lord. It's talking about that relationship that you have with him. Are you happy in the Lord tonight? This is something that's been on my heart. You know, it's been asked, you know, have I been praying about revival, thinking about revival? I think about revival all the time. Let me just say this. I don't think about revival in the spring, and I don't think about revival in the fall. I think about revival every time I come to this place. Here's the thing. I can call somebody. I can set up a half a week. I can set up a whole week. Anybody can do that. But if you're talking about revival, that means somebody's praying, somebody's burdened, and somebody wants it. Do we want it? Do we want it? That's what I was looking at here, rejoicing. And that's something that come to my mind, rejoicing in the Lord. Are you happy in Him? Revival, that means to return or recall or recovery to life from death or apparent death. See, I think to me what that means is that there's somebody that wants to move in that direction. I think about it like this too. If we're really, as a church, want revival, I'm just going to be honest with you, our altar should be full every time we meet. I remember times it used to be like that. I'm not trying to get people to move just to move. I'm not trying to do that at all. I don't do that. But it's not something, revival isn't just something that you do, it's something that you experience and the Lord brings, but guess what? You have to want it. I remember going to services and what have you, cold as a cucumber, not right with God, and I wasn't getting revived. I was at the service, but I wasn't taking part like He wanted me to do. But if you really want revival, I believe that's something you can have, but I believe it's something that you and I must desire and want and prepare our hearts for. It's not something we just come and kind of do. It's not like that. I can't schedule it. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I tell you, there's a way that I've seen the Lord move, God move, that our hearts get so burdened about things that all of a sudden it's not just the usuals that have the burden. It's people that you may have forgot about that don't always come up to the front to pray. When you start seeing those people show up, you know the Lord's moving. I'm just going to be honest with you. We get so complacent in things. We get so used to the norm in things. I'll just pray from here. I'll just do this. But if you really have a burden, it will cause you to move. It'll cause us all to move. I believe that with all my heart. But thinking about this here, verse number 4 again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we're going to see a little bit about confidence here. Some of the best rejoicing times I've ever had has been in church. Probably some of the absolute best. There's been some outside of church. But I tell you, when the Lord moves and hearts get right and hearts are right and you see revival break out, that is a cause for rejoicing. Verse number 5, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Your moderation. You can look at that word a lot of different ways maybe, but if you look up the definition, your moderation means keeping a due mean between extremes. That means not running hot, not running cold. And I tell you, for the average person, probably the average Christian, that's a hard thing. I see people that I have a lot of confidence in run hot and cold all the time. I run hot and cold. And what I mean by that, you can say spiritually, sure, but I'm talking about even having an even-keeled temper. I'm talking about, we talked about temperance not too long ago, but having self-control about things. When things get us worked up, when things affect us, when things really bother us. Well, how do you control self-control? I mean, how do you control that? I mean, what would be one of the biggest factors that you would have? I thought about these things and just tried to break it down and think about it. I guess for me, my moderation would be a lot depending upon my confidence in the person, my confidence in the one that is actually giving me the help or the one that I have confidence in to fix the problem. We see our nation, we see the condition it's in. A lot of times we feel like it's just out of control, that there is no hope or anything like that, and you get worked up about it one way or the other. But when you really think about the Lord and where He sits and the power He has, our confidence should be in Him. And if our confidence is in Him where it should be, then we should be like this and not like this. I'm bad to get like this. The last 6 months, that's the way that it's been. Things at home, things at work, things at church, things in different places, it just feels like it's been like this. It's like, Lord, let me get off this ride for a while. But nobody can get off. It seems like everybody is going through that in different ways, many different ways. But you think about what he's talking about here, your moderation be made known unto all men. That means wherever you're at, the workplace, the church place, the school place, it doesn't matter. Everybody sees this even-keeled temperament, because you as a Christian have confidence in God, the one who is actually in control, because we forget a lot of times. We look at the giant. We look at the problem. We get our mind set on that, and we see that, and that's what we see, and we get fixated on, and we can't see around that. See, once you start seeing around that, and once you start claiming it before God does it, see, that literally puts it on the Lord, doesn't it? If we sit back and kind of complain, say, I wish somebody would do something, it's a lot different than when you say, the Lord is going to do something, He's going to handle this. Well, see, that puts it back on Him. That's the only way we can say that, is if we have confidence in Him that He's going to fix things, He's going to take care of our problems, He's going to take care of these things that we have no control over. You see, that's how we can let our moderation be made known to people. They see us even killed, not bent out of shape, tore up about things. And that's not to say things don't bother us. And he goes on to say after that statement, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's coming back. You see, that's something that probably needs to be preached or mentioned every single service. Every single time. The gospel. And that His return is imminent. That's something that needs to be touched on every time, because that's the reality of where we're at. It's nice to have messages and sermons that talk about things that kind of help us. But here's the thing. You got to put everything in perspective. This thing's winding down. Talking about the importance of letting people know our moderation, our confidence in the Lord, and that He is returning. He's coming back. You look at verse number 6. And I love this verse, because you never really see this kind of advice. You never really see this kind of teaching. But it says, be careful for nothing. How many times you use that statement with your children? How many times you use that statement with anybody? Anymore, weather-wise, you're always saying, you know, be careful out there. Watch out for trees. Watch out for this. Watch out for whatever it is. Be careful, be careful. But Paul here, he's teaching us, be careful for nothing. He's saying, don't hold back. If you're careful, you're letting off the gas. If you're being careful, you're being kind of timid or kind of watching. He's saying, don't be careful. He said, put all these things out there. Lay these things out. See, that's a mark of true prayer. Not picking out words that sound good to hear or anything like that, but you're just laying it out to the Lord exactly how it is. And you know, we can do that in church too. It's okay to do it in your prayer closet. The Bible talks about that, but I'm telling you, there are things that we as a church need to be praying about together. About revival, about members that are facing things, about other people, family members that don't even attend here, facing things that they're going through. And I tell you, it's that kind of unity, it's that kind of help that really helps people, leads people to the Lord. It shows that the Lord is still in control, and that He has the power and the authority still yet to to help people. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, you see, it circles back to prayer. It comes back to that. You see, if I was reading this and I was like, how would I give an answer to somebody asking this question? Well, the Bible tells us to rejoice always, regardless of what's going on. You and I, preacher, you can eat these words, and I could, but I'm just telling you the truth. You and I should always have something to rejoice in the Lord about. Always. Always. You know, I think about it like this. On my deathbed, I should have something to rejoice in the Lord about. Guess what? Because I know where I'm going. Isn't that something? One of the worst things, maybe that we, the way we see it, one of the worst things and the hardest things that we see in our life is maybe our deathbed or something like that, or the deathbed of somebody else. But guess what? If they've accepted Christ, you've got something to rejoice about. They're going home. They're one step closer. And guess what? We get to see them again. It's not over. This is the smallest part of our life. It's a vapor, Brother Allen. No matter how long we live, this is just a vapor. This is the shortest, smallest part of our life, Christian or non-Christian. This is the shortest part. You take 70, 80, 90, 100, 100 plus years, that's nothing compared to eternity. Nothing. You think about the rejoicing that's going on there. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's none of these things that we're plagued with. There's no flesh. Flesh and blood does not, and bone does not inherit the kingdom of God, is what the Bible says. It's not there. The things that plague us most are not there. That's something to be rejoicing about. You see how it comes here together. He's reminding us in our minds. And I tell you, it doesn't take long. He said, be careful for nothing. It kind of gets me in the mind of prayer, of talking to the Lord, of communicating with Him. I tell you, sometimes it's okay just to sit down there with Him, and you'll start talking with Him. And you know what prayer is? Talking to the Lord. He's not one to build up a wall and block things off. If you come to Him with a contrite and broken spirit, that wall falls down. That wall's gone. You can't, I just can't get through. Well, you haven't asked Him for forgiveness yet. It's not His side. He's not built up a wall to keep you out. I promise you that. If your children come to you asking you for help, would you slam up a wall and say, don't come here asking me for help? Lord's the same way. Neat thing about the Lord is He can knock down any wall. Any wall. We're limited sometimes. He has no limitations. He's the one that you want to be praying to. He's the one that you want to be talking to prayer. That's a solemn address to thee. If you look at the definition, the supreme being. You're talking about, when you're talking about prayer, you're talking about talking to the Lord. And I even like what it says here too. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, everything we do, by prayer, and then supplication. I think supplication is kind of a sweet word. It means humble, earnest prayer and worship. So that kind of pulls you back. See, that's when you go ahead and you start claiming it before it happens. And I think that's okay. I can't foretell the future. I can't do that. But here's the thing. If we believe in Romans 8:28, all things work to good for them that love God and thee called according to His purpose, that means something. He put it in there for a reason. And just because it doesn't happen the way we see it, the way we want it to happen, doesn't mean it's not happening the way He wants it to happen. And see, again, He sees everything. He sees it all. He sees the whole thing. It's not, I wasn't created for Him to make me happy. I was created to worship Him. We get things backwards a lot of times. We think when we pray, I see it like this and I want this. And if this don't happen, then He didn't answer my prayer. Yeah, He did. Yes, no, wait. He answers our prayers. If your children come to you and ask you about something, what do you tell them? Yes, no, maybe. Let's wait and see. It's kind of how it happens in Brother Bill. He answers. Might not be the answer we see or understand, but he answers. But when you have that time with him, that time of supplication, that humble, earnest time of worship with him, you know what? He loves that. When Josh was little, he's a little bit too big to do this now, but when he's little, he crawled my lap. That's exactly where I wanted him to be. And I was in the heart to try to give him what he needed. Maybe not what he wanted, but what he needed. But you know, there's something special when you crawl in the Lord's lap like that. And even if he's telling you know he loves you anyway. You know he loves you anyway. And you kind of have that trust, you have that relationship with him that says, you know what, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I trust you anyway. I trust you with it. And then that automatically turns into what I see here, this Thanksgiving. You just start thanking, Lord, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you hear me. Thank you that I can talk to you. Thank you, Lord, that you'd even have a heart or an ear to listen to anything I would have to say because I'm not worthy. We kind of get, we're his children, and that's special to him. But if we're not careful, we'll fall on entitlement. We'll think that we're worthy of things, deserving of things. But if you can really see, if you start this conversation out with the Lord knowing we're not worthy of anything, we're not deserving of anything. And if the Lord responds in any way, that's a blessing. That's just how big he is. What a blessing it is to be able to be called his children. But with Thanksgiving, you just start thanking him, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for how you're going to handle this, what you're going to do. Lord, I go ahead and just thank you now, God. Thank you. With Thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You just thank him. An attitude of gratitude. That's even got this one time, and I've kept it in my Bible. It says right here, practice an attitude of gratitude. And I saved it as my placeholder right here for this verse. I'm going to close with this, verse number 7. It's kind of interesting how all this comes around. What do you do when you can't pray? What do you do when you feel like you can't pray? You don't have the words. What do you do? I see these things here in the, verse number 7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now see, that's the beautiful reward of this. See, that doesn't mean that you get the answer that you want. That doesn't mean he gives you an itinerary. That doesn't mean he maps everything out that you know exactly how it's going to happen. But you have peace. At the end of the day, any circumstance that you're in, think about this, any circumstance that you're in, at the end of the day, if you are at peace and you have peace in the Lord, what else is there? What else is there? Things that plague our minds, things that bother you, things that keep you up, things that just aggravate you. Maybe it's an illness that you have. Maybe it's a circumstance that you're going through, something that's always right here and you can't seem to get it away, but all of a sudden maybe you have that time of peace with God. Don't you notice that time of peace? Boy, I do. And about 99% of the time, I think somebody is praying for me. Somebody got through. Somebody's praying for me. Well, I tell you the importance of prayer. You can't pray too much. You can't minimize or maximize the importance of prayer and what it means. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. See, that's how we get attacked a lot of times. Physically, things hurt. And the longer that physical ailment goes on, it hurts the body. But you know what hurts the most? Is when a person in their heart start asking, why? And a person in their mind start asking, why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? That hurts far more than what goes on in the physical body. That battle that goes on in the mind, that battle that goes on in the heart. But what he's saying here, and when you do these things, you pray and you ask God in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, and you give it to him. It says, in the peace of God which passeth all understanding. That means we don't understand it. You never understand it. I'm okay with that. If I have peace without understanding, that is okay. I thank God for his peace. It says it shall keep your hearts and keep your minds through Christ Jesus. And you see, I said a minute ago, Always bringing back the gospel. It always points back to Jesus Christ every single time. You won't have any peace in your life until you know Him as your Savior. You won't. You might have good days and bad days or what have you, but I tell you, I remember when I was lost, and my mind had not yet quite hit my heart yet, but in my mind, I didn't have any peace. I was afraid He was going to come back and I was going to be left behind. I had no peace. I tell you, when I understood, finally understood that He was my only hope, He was my Savior, and the reason He went to that cross and died was for my sins. When I understood that, with childlike faith, that changed everything. But every single day, you get to recount back to that. If you will, if you'll slow down and think about it, you recount back to that salvation the day you got saved. That should give you, that should be the starting point of your rejoicing every single time. Think about all of His blessings, how good He is to us. These things that bother us, again, maybe in the workplace, physical things that are going on, things in the past. Boy, I tell you, things in the past have a way of staying right here. I'll tell you something I've learned. Things that happened in the past that I thought were gone, as I've gotten older, sometimes they resurface. I didn't know that. I thought as you got older, things got easier. It don't, does it? I did. I'll be honest with you. When I was younger, I thought, I know that sounds foolish. When I was younger, I thought, man, these older people have it made. They're singing, shouting, saying amen, everything. They're not going through all these things I'm going through. Guess what? Yeah, they are. And they're going through it maybe with parents and with children, and they're right in the middle of it sometimes. Things compound as you get older sometimes. But here's the thing. Beautiful thing about it, the Word of God was just as true then as it is now. It can help us just as much then. Now as it did then. It doesn't change. He doesn't change. But I tell you, I'm just going to be honest. I think the Lord, I think He wants to move and I think He wants to do things. I think He's waiting on you and me. I'll just be honest with you. I'll be honest with you, church. But I know there's so much to be in prayer for. I tell you, there's times, you know, you think about mentioning these things in prayer and things like that, but the Lord knows what's on our heart. It's not always important that you tell everybody everything. You know, that's one thing that's so different about Facebook, about having everything live. There's things that's of no importance to the outside world. It's important right here. That's one thing I like. I believe what we've tried to do, I believe what we do is kind of turn things off when we start having our prayer time. I'll tell you, there's things as the family, there's things the family needs to know that the outside world don't need to know. And I'm okay with that. I'd rather be that way, to be honest with you. That's why the Lord gives us an independent, autonomous church to serve in and to work in. We can be a family. We can be a unit. Let me read this before I forget. I'm going to close with this. But I thought this was very interesting. You know, I know Brother Tim, he speaks a lot to the unity.